In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." I want us to consider this morning some self-made prisons, and this phrase, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I heard on the news the other day that they are building a new prison in Springfield. I think it's like $150 million they're spending to build a prison up there, or a jail. And they mentioned how many beds are going to be in it. And I thought, if the law was enforced and carried out swiftly, we wouldn't need as many jails, we wouldn't need as many prisons, but it's almost like they are being turned into long-term housing for certain individuals. I have visited in a prison several times, and I can tell you, I like living where I live a whole lot better than living in a prison, than considering that. And what is worse, though, those buildings like this are one thing, but this prison up here we have in our mind, so many people are imprisoned in their own mind. It's a self-made prison. Of all the people in prison are not behind stone walls. As someone said, stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. And there is a stronger and more unyielding thought prison bar than one made of iron. It's an attitude of life. Charles Dickens expressed it, "I wear the chain I forged in life." We forge our chains. We make chains that shackle us in our life that are sometimes worse than any jail or prison that we can think of. So we're going to look at some self-made prisons. Maybe you have been imprisoned by something. Maybe it's your lust. Maybe it's the things that you hate. Maybe it's your temptations. Maybe it's the things that you resent. Maybe it's your grudges that you have. Those things can all imprison us, and then we are not living the life that we were designed to live. So let's start by looking at a self-made prison of self-indulgence. A lot of people do not want to be different than anybody else out there, so they do the same things. They give in to the same things. They go to the same places. They live just like the world. Paul, writing in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of the mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds." Friends, we should not indulge ourselves beyond those things that are right. If we have a weakness, we cannot overcome that weakness by giving in to it. Yet so many people do that over and over. This list of sins: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. We've got to find out what our weakness is, and then do something to overcome it, to change it. A prison, self-made prison of self-indulgence. If, say, one is lazy, what does that person need to do? He needs to get up and go work. He needs to do something. Somebody may be afraid of public speaking. What should he do? He should get up and start speaking in public to overcome that. There are sins out there that we need to refrain from. There are things out there that we need to start doing. And we should not make our own prison in our mind. We've got to grow. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We've got to lay aside those weights which so easily ensnares us. We've got to have some self-discipline. Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 3, said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul in this passage tells us two things we need to do. We want to break out of that self-made prison. We got to forget those things that are behind us. We got to look forward and move forward to those things that are ahead. Is that easy to do? No, it's not. It's not. But we've got to do it. We've got to act in spite of fear, or act in spite of whatever's holding us back. And the more we start doing the positive, the less we're going to focus on the negative. In the same letter in chapter 4, verse 13, Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Maybe we aren't doing what we would like to do because we do not have Christ in our mind and heart as much as we ought to. Another self-made prison is the prison of superstition. And you might think, well, people aren't superstitious today. People are very, very superstitious. Different than when I was growing up, but people are very superstitious. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul writes, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. The King James says witchcraft, sorcery, witchcraft, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I also tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there are people that practice, make religions out of worshiping witches today. The sorcery, I think, is a bigger thing, and it's a bigger problem because people say, oh, that's no big deal. That's no big deal at all. But there's a lot of money spent in this country on various forms of superstition. When I was growing up, some people say I'm still growing up. years ago, a lot of people believed, you know, like Friday the 13th is an unlucky day. Or don't walk in front of a black cat. Don't walk under a ladder. Don't do this, don't do that. I was down south one time and I heard someone saying there's this big lightning storm, and down there in those hollers that just echoes back and forth and reverberates, and someone yelled to this other person, stay away from that cat, you know they attract lightning. That was a superstition, and that person believed it. But what kind of superstitions do we have today? They're all around us. Call Miss Cleo now. Used to be late night TV, and I don't stay up as late as I used to, but there would be commercials like this all the time. Call this number and I'll tell you your fortune. Call this number and I will tell you what you need to know in your life. This other slide here is Liberty Mutual TV commercial. This Zoltar, fortune teller. Why are they using that in a commercial? Because people relate to it. People connect with it. Something else that is out there, and this is where people would disagree, but you can't disagree with what the Bible says. This is Harry Potter, Wizards Unite News, information on that, and Disney, Wizards of Waverly Place. And people say, oh, that's just innocent little stories. When I was in elementary school, I remember when the police would come every so often, and they would call an assembly. We'd go down to the gymnasium, and they would open up a suitcase, and they had different kinds of drugs in it. And they would talk about this drug and that drug and this one. And they would talk about these gateway, I think they called them gateway drugs back then. This isn't this harmful, but they will give you this to get you hooked on something else to take you deeper in this direction. That's what a lot of these movies and stories are about. Why do they keep making them? Because they make money on them, because people are interested in this. And when people say, oh, this is innocent, it's cute, ask them what is innocent about it. Ask them back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20, what does this mean? The works of the flesh, sorcery and witchcraft, what does that mean? Does it mean what it says? It may look innocent, but it leads into something worse and worse. Another prison that so many people live in today, a prison of, let me get up here, a self-made prison of hate. There are a lot of people that are just filled with hate, and it has warped their personality. They live in hate all the time. John has a lot to say about this. In 1 John 2 and verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. 1 John 2:11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John 3:15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? It's interesting, all of these passages, John isn't talking about someone that is hating someone out in the world, or some evil person, or some other person. He's talking about brethren. He's talking about brethren. He who hates his brother is in darkness. If we are children of God, we need to walk in light. If we hate, in 1 John 3:15, if we hate our brother, John says we're the same as a murderer, and we have no life in him. This is a prison that people make, a prison that they live in. Why do we choose this? And it's sad, and a lot of times you'll see something start over something small, and then it grows, and then two people aren't talking to each other, and then 20 years later, two brothers, two sisters in the same room, and they won't talk to each other, and they call themselves children of God. We can't, friends, we can't have an ounce of hate in ourselves. It's just as silly as if I went up to a prison, that correctional facility that I showed at the beginning, that prison, and knocked on the door and said, let me in, I want to live here. That would be foolish. But we build these prisons in our mind, and Satan convinces us to live there and not change. And the longer we do something, the harder it is to change, but we need to change. So another prison is the prison of unrest. So many people today live in a prison of unrest. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And from such people turn away, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What does this mean, a self-made prison of unrest? Well, you can think of it in a lot of different ways. You go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, and we see where a person is trying to do this and trying to do that with all of his might, but it's nothing that we do is going to satisfy. None of this earthly things we do are going to satisfy. We'll chase the dollar. We'll chase keeping up with our neighbors. Our neighbors may hate each other. Our neighbors may be in debt up to their eyeballs. But some people want to keep up with their neighbors. I try to stay away from so much of this stuff, but sometimes I'll see a commercial or something, a news item, and a new phone has come out, and people are lined up outside the store and around the corner to buy the new phone, and they had bought a new phone the year before and the year before and the year before, but they've got to spend some outrageous amount of money to keep up. They aren't satisfied. You think about people that gamble. I worked one day for a company when I was in my early 20s, and I thought, this place isn't cut out for me. And we were working outside, and the guys, there is a storm cloud coming off in the distance. Okay, everybody make a bet. What time is it going to start raining here? People look for things like that. It's just they look for the craziest things to do because they aren't at rest up here. They aren't at peace up here. And one of the biggest problems today of this prison of unrest is digital addiction, scrolling. That's an addiction. You think it's not an addiction? You take somebody's phone away from them and see what they do. You tell them, don't look at your phone for a day, don't look at your phone for a week, and then people get addicted to pornography on their phone, and they're on it all the time. And I shouldn't just say pornography. They get addicted to that. They get addicted to gambling. There are all of these gambling commercials. They get addicted to sports, betting on sports. It's like a leapfrog jumping here, there. They are not at rest. They do not have that peace in their soul. They do not have that calmness of spirit. They're looking for satisfaction in things of the world. And friends, it's never going to satisfy. It's never. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and said in order many proverbs. The preacher also sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of the scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. You see, in religion, anything else, I notice it more in religion, somebody will put out an advertisement. Finally, Somebody wrote a book on Matthew that explains what Matthew is about. Well, I think there's probably already 200 books out there on Matthew, but it's because of this unrest. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Friends, this is the answer to taking care of unrest. Fear God and keep His commandments, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Another big thing that causes unrest is turning on the news, the radio, the TV. You can be sitting in a waiting room and they'll have politics on the screen. And so much of what they have on there divides people. You see a room full of people. Well, that's right. That's wrong. And it's back and forth. And we aren't able to do anything about it. And it just keeps people stirred up. This self-made prison of unrest, it's like living inside a blender. It's like living inside a blender. If you have a blender, sometimes you put it on low and it's spinning. Sometimes you push that high and it's super fast. And that's what our life is like. Why? Why do we choose to live in a prison of unrest when Jesus can give us peace? In Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So is Christ saying that it's easy to be a Christian? No, he's not saying that. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those are comparative terms. His yoke and his burden is light compared to Satan's. Because if we are yoked with Satan and carry Satan's burden, it's going to bring us death and damnation. Well, a lot of people live in a self-made prison of indecision. Sometimes people, they talk about doing something and they just think over and over and over. I was with someone going to different counseling sessions, and the counselor kept using the word with the person, you need to stop ruminating. You need to stop ruminating and do something. Because people will just think over and over and over, and then they become paralyzed to doing anything. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Friends, do you want to serve the Lord? When do you want to serve Him? Are you going to think about it and do it next week, next month, next year? Or are you going to start today? Don't be indecisive. That's one of the things that gets under my skin, is when I'm dealing with somebody and doing business with them and they can't make up their mind, or I'm going to do it. Okay, well, when are you going to do it? Well, I have to check and see. I have to wait. And you get back with them and get back with them. Just make up your decision and do it. If we're sitting on the fence, we need to get off the fence. Are we on this side or are we on that side? Are you in or are you out? Are you in the church or are you out of the church? If we're in the church, we need to be in it. We need to be in it. The prison of indecision. I just don't know what to do. Just don't know what to do. One that goes along with this is a self-made prison of unbelief. Sometimes people do things and They still aren't sure what they believe. They're baptized and am I really saved? Am I really saved? I don't know. Does God really answer my prayers? Why doesn't God answer my prayers the way I want Him to? Is there really a God, you know, with everything that's going on? Is there really a God? Is He really going to punish us? You know, and as we're talking about Satan and class, that's one of the biggest things that he tries to push on us, is to get us to believe that he doesn't exist. If Satan can convince us that he doesn't exist or that God doesn't exist, he's got us. He's got us. But in Hebrews chapter 3, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Friends, what's the lesson there? They couldn't enter into the land because of unbelief. Are we going to not enter into heaven because of unbelief? All of these types of prisons can be included in a self-made prison of sin. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Romans 6:20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the thing of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sins and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know who the sinners are? It's that person over there and that person over there and that one back there. It's not me. We never think of ourselves as a sinner. But friends, when we are not walking with God, when we are not doing what we are supposed to do, when I see slides I like, I copy them and save them to use in different sermons. And I saw one recently, and it had at the top the sin of doing nothing, and it showed a pew and somebody laying on the pew sleeping. And sometimes people think, as long as I go to church on Sunday, I'm going to heaven. Friends, these prisons, we make ourselves. No one forces us to go into these prisons. There have been times in history when one group would conquer another group and they would take prisoners. They would put them in jails. They would put them in prisons. They would hold them prisoner. Why do we willingly lock ourselves up in our mind, in our heart, with self-indulgence, with superstition, with hate, with unrest, with indecision, with sin? These are all self-made prisons. But friend, Jesus can set us free. He can set us free. He's the only one that can set us free when we are obedient to Him and do what He says, commit our life to Him and follow Him, and He will be with us. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling with sin, you need to make confession, you need prayers, you need to respond to the gospel invitation. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.